Thank the Lord that our brother showed us the whole picture. The whole picture of the true worshiper. Now let us go into some details. Praise the Lord. Let us read to us at first Deuteronomy chapter 12. We read before. Verse 5 to 9. But
you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go.
Amen.
There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vow offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks.
Amen.
There you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you.
Amen. In God's heart, from the beginning we can see he wants to have a nation. From the Old Testament, even to now, to the New Testament time, he wants to have nation, a group of people, absolutely for him.
Amen.
This is his heart's desire. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we have to take care of individual growth, but with a purpose, with a view, is to be a part of this nation, to fulfill his plan.
Amen.
It's not for our own benefit. It's not for our own advantage, but it's for his purpose.
Amen.
He wants to have a nation, right? And then, for a nation, he has a chosen place. Let us read Psalm 132. Verse 13 to 14. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired in his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. For here I will dwell, for I have desired. This is his decision. This is his choice. Therefore, he told the children of Israel, seek the place. Seek the place. And it is my decision. So, if we are children of God, we will seek this place, and we should seek the place. There's no other place. We will seek the place according to his decision, not according to our decision, not according to our way. And this is a very, very important point. And I ask myself, why our God would do this? He is the one who created the heaven and the earth, right? Everything belongs to him. And we can go everywhere. He can say, okay, you can worship there, you can worship there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he said, destroy all these places. Destroy all these high places. All this altar under the green. Why? And then he said, here is my dwelling place. Here is my temple. And the temple is holy. The dwelling place has to be fulfilled with glory of God.
Amen.
And his house has to be filled with righteousness for God. Who is able to find a place for God? Such a place. Brother, can you? Are you so holy? Can find a holy place even for the place our holy God can dwell? No. No one is able to do that. No one. Therefore, as George said and mentioned in Psalm 19, presumptuous. It is a sin. Even we think we are able to find a place fit to Lord, to our God's sender. No one, no one. I even dare not to do it because this is a sin. The sin said, oh, maybe there is a place we can worship God. Maybe there is a place we can worship God. No, it is a sin. I don't want to do that. Yeah. And then the Lord, God is so clear, remind the children of Israel, don't do it, but you have to destroy it. If today we are still thinking this way, we want to build up our own house, our place, own place as a temple of God, the Lord will destroy it. There's no way. And this, because this is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Actually, when the Lord, when God chooses this one place for the children of Israel, is a salvation for them. And bring them to one and have them come to in oneness. All this nation, the whole nation together as one and worship their God. And this principle is also applied to today in the New Testament time. And this choice according to him, it is a salvation for us so that we can be avoid to have such sin, presumptuous sin. Every time you think, oh, this place will be good for God, no, then you will remind by the Lord said, no, according to my choice.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes. And that is in the Old Testament time with the Old Covenant. And the same principle is also in New Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Let us read Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. Verse 22 to 24, to 25. Sorry, to 26, because it's together. Yeah. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yes, this is today's church. To the Mount Zion, this is the kingdom of God.
Right.
He has to rule there. He is the ruler. We are not the ruler. Right? And to the city of the living God, this is the place what he has chosen. Today, the church has to be a heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
According to his choice, not according to our choice. Right? The same principle. And then, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
Amen.
And to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better than things that are able. God, this blood, the blood of Jesus, is so, so precious. He redeemed us for the church, for a nation, for a group of people, not only for our individual sin, yes, but the goal is for his dwelling place on this earth. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Our God is speaking God, always speaks. But the problem is us. We refuse to hear that. If we refuse to hear that, then we cannot go on. And in a way, if we say a little bit stronger, and we are useless for God, if we refuse his speaking. One day, we will be surprised. Why? I did so many things for my God, but at the end, in his eyes, I'm always useless. No result. Right? Because very often, we do not act according to his choice. We act very often according to our own choice. From the beginning, from Deuteronomy we just read, and to this point, according to his choice. Actually, the whole Bible, whole word of God is according to his choice, not according to our choice. Right? Otherwise, you can write a new book. Right? This is according to his choice. Oh, Lord Jesus. If we see this, then every time when we come to the church, meet together, then you will be very loose or you will be very, very serious. That depends on our attitude. If you don't see this, every time you come to the meeting, you come to the church, your attitude is so loose. Okay, I come just for the meeting and then afterward, hi, and then I go home, right? And that is not a way to come to the dwelling place of God. That is not a way to come to the kingdom of God. We have to have a fear. If we see this, that today's church is the kingdom of God, today's church is dwelling place of God, we will not come like that. Therefore, in 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, you have to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. Then we will consider our way, consider our conduct. Are we holy? Every time we have to examine ourselves. Every time we want to speak something in the church, we have to examine ourselves. Am I holy? Can I say that? When I prepare for this part of the conference, I ask myself, I pray to the Lord, guard my mouth. I don't want to speak anything out of my flesh, anything unholy.
Amen.
We have to deal with ourselves today. If we see this picture, here is the place we will bring our offerings. And when still so loose, when we come, as a brother said, I have the same feeling. I I only have so much. I had to find what the best to can, to give the. Maybe I only have one. I don't even have to choose. That's only that's only one I have. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be like this. Our Father is so rich. We have such rich, good land. But don't be discouraged. This is the beginning. If we see this way, we go on. The Lord is faithful. He will help us. He will teach us everything. If you want to learn, He will teach you everything. Amen. Because we have this anointing in us. Yes. This anointing will teach us everything if we pray to Him. Oh, Lord. Now, very practical. If we are not holy, what should we do? Let us read again. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 10 to 11. For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seems best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partaker of holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the by a kingdom. I want to be chastened by our God.
Amen.
I want to be a partaker of holiness.
Amen.
I want to be trained. I want to be perfected.
Amen.
This is the way to come to the temple of God, to come to the church, to come to the dwelling place of God. It is not a simple matter. It is not. I have to repent that very often I take things very lightly. It is not right. So let us encourage one another.
Amen.
Listen to His voice.
Amen.
To be chastened by Him and to be trained by Him. Right? This is the hope in us. He will do it. And if we do with Him together, do not refuse His voice today. If we today we refuse His voice, also we got stuck. We cannot go on, right? We have to hear His voice.
Amen.
Amen. In this case, actually, if we understand that, and it's what means does mean in spirit. In spirit is very, in a way, it's very simple. Do according to His decision.
Amen.
Right? Do everything according to His choice. This is in spirit. In spirit is not something you did afterwards, you say, oh, the Lord told me to do that. No, no. You have to do according to His choice.
Amen.
This is in spirit. But how can we do that according to His choice? How do we know this is His choice? Through His chastening, through our prayer, through the Spirit, and we know what is His choice. And that, when we act accordingly, then we are in spirit. It is not difficult, right? To be trained by Him. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes. Amen. If we don't do that, we will actually suffer loss, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? If we come to the church, we think we are building up the church with something, but it is not according to His choice, with a gold, silver, and precious stone, we will suffer loss. And that is not a building in the Spirit. Yes. Let us again read Revelation chapter 14. When I concentrate on this according to my choice, my decision, the Bible is really shining, or His Word, before my eyes. Revelation 14. What is the church? What is the first fruit? 1 to 5. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their forehead.
And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunders. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song.
Amen. I read that a few times. I go word by word. So, then I look and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion. The lamb that's had no choice. He has stayed on Mount Zion. It's God's choice. Mount Zion. Not anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And with him and 144,000 having his Father's name written on their forehead. Why not other names? God's desire, Father's name. Yeah. Why is it only on the forehead? Don't discuss that with God. His decision, right? And they have to sing this song for the throne. You can sing a song everywhere, no problem. But this new song has to be sung before the throne. His desire. Oh, Father, I really want to walk in my Christian life this way. I already missed many years. But this time, this point opened my eyes and helped me go on. And if you see this, this is God's word, and this is His desire, His decision, His choice. We don't have our own way. What a relief. Amen. What a salvation. I don't have to sing because according to my own way, I sinned against God. I want to follow the Lamb where He goes. Yeah, George mentioned the topic. I thought one thing. Let me read you something. And that was wonderful. But sorry, give me a few seconds. Yeah. The true worshiper in the New Testament age. New York Labor Day Conference, August 29, September 1st, 2014. We have this last year. I asked myself, 1 year and how many days? 3 days already. How much I got from this? How I practice these words? Today, enemy is against this when we practice this true worshiping, right? Mm. If we know it, no problem. This 1 year, many things happened. And the Lord shows me I lost too much time for something no need. Something distract me from the truth. Something really hindered me to go on. And these are the work of Satan. These are work of devils. When I read this already 1 year, I think a few were here last year. Ask yourself, how much you get from this word, endure this 1 year. How did you practice?
Right?
I have to say, I did, and I see the benefit of mine, and I also see this is heart's desire of God. I would do again, but one thing I don't want to do it, to lose time for any attack of Satan. This is, we don't have so much time for that. We only want to spend our time for the real thing, for the truth of God, for His heart's desire, and for His decision. Yeah, let us really encourage one another. In the coming year, we'll gain more and more the essence from our God in us, and more, bring us more to maturity and become the first fruit. The earlier the better. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Definitely, Father, it's not enough for us just to know.
Amen. Amen.
We pray that all the saints will enter into the practice.
Amen.
And we may all grow.
Yes.
And you, Father, will be satisfied.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord, lead us all to the goal.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to lose any more time.
Yes.
Forgive us for losing so much time.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, save us from all that distracts us.
Amen.
So shine into our lives.
Amen.
And test everything that we do, Lord.
Amen.
All our habits, all our thoughts.
Amen.
All the ways in our life, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, shine onto all this.
Amen.
And show us what is only a hindrance to God.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we don't want to focus on this goal.
Amen.
Amen. Help us to see the real goal, Lord.
Amen.
To see the bigger picture.
Amen.
It's not all about us, Lord.
Amen.
But it's about your purpose and your desire.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, save us from ourselves, Lord.
Yes.
Right. We are hindering your work, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we pray that you show us how to go on.
Amen.
And to be willing to let go of our own choice, Lord.
Amen.
And to desire in our own preferences, Lord.
Amen.
And we can really see your choice.
Amen.
Amen. True worship.
Amen.
A true worshiper that worship the spirit and the reality.
Amen.
A true worshiper that worship according to your word, Lord.
Yes.
And in one accord and in one mind.
Amen.
And will build up a church for your holy temple.
Amen.
To make the earth your desired place.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yes. In your house, everything must be your choice.
Amen.
Not our choice.
Amen.
Not what we like, but what you want.
Amen.
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 Change our concepts.
Right.
Amen.
Deliver us from being so self-centered.
Oh, no.
Focused on our choice and our desire, even in the church.
Amen.
Father, open our eyes to see this is also your holy temple.
Amen.
Your place of worship.
Amen.
Place that you desire.
Amen.
May we seek what you have chosen.
Amen.
Oh, and even in your house, may we do what you want us to do.
Amen.
Father God, forgive us
Amen.
For being so consumed with our own perspective.
Amen.
Give us eyes to see what you desire.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, you bought us with a price.
Amen.
We are not our own.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, Lord. So we want to do what you want us to do.
Amen.
Amen. May all of us really learn to do the Father's will.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. I want to be coachable today.
Amen.
Willing to be perfected today, Lord.
Amen.
Give us this sense of urgency.
Yes.
Say, Lord, we really want to repent.
Amen.
Been just so distracted, Lord.
Yes.
Wasted so much time. But Lord, now we want to really practice the true worship.
Amen.
We want to enter into the reality of all the feasts and all the offerings.
Amen.
We pray we are not satisfied with where we are.
Amen.
We pray the Holy Spirit will lead us deeper into the reality.
Amen.
Come with a repenting heart.
Amen.
We pray that you would forgive us for wasting so much time.
Amen.
For having our eyes not set on the goal. We pray that we would really learn to redeem the time.
Amen.
To do your will.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, make us holy as you are holy.
Amen.
Yes, the church, the holy temple.
Amen.
Amen. Sanctify us.
Amen.
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 Is your name written in our forehead?
Amen. Amen.
We want to be those who are pleasing unto you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Those who worship you.
Amen.
In spirit and in reality.
Amen. Amen.
Touched by that verse mentioned in Revelation 14, that it is the Father's name that is written on our forehead.
Amen.
That is a very prominent feature or characteristic of those of the first fruits. Right? We follow the Lamb, but the name written is the Father's name. Not the Lamb's name, but the Father's name.
Amen.
That means we are really those who worship the Father.
Amen.
Who pleases the Father. Who please the Father. Right? Who satisfy the Father. And the new song here is actually not that they sung a lot, but it's that they experienced a lot of Christ.
Amen.
As all the offerings. The song usually reflects our experience, right?
Right.
And the new song means we experience Christ in such a new and living way.
Amen.
As the true worshiper. And eventually that name is going to appear in our forehead.
Amen.
I really appreciate that. That we can have the Father's name written on our forehead.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Conscious Father.
Lord, who take us up. Amen. 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 Amen.
Also, to enjoy the verse in Ephesians that was read a little earlier. Chapter 2, it says, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You know, the matter of the church, I think, in our natural concept, we always think of, you know, the house of God as a place where the children can come together and enjoy the Father together, and it's something for me. The church life is for me to be nourished, for me to be strengthened, for me to be built up together. And that's not wrong. Don't get me wrong. That, of course, we get to enjoy the benefit in this way. But the consciousness that the church is also a holy temple is not so strong. Mm-hmm. And we have to see that the church is not only the body of Christ, but it is also a holy temple in the Lord. And this has everything to do with the true worship. The true worship has to be in the right place. It has to be in the place that God has chosen. And we have to seek it out. But it is this right place. It is the holy temple. It is a temple. And in the temple is where we worship God our Father. So it's not... So in our concept, I realized even from a year ago, our concept is it has to be with the view of the Father. It is what the Father desires. And so that means the church is not for us, but the church is actually for the Father. Because the Father has chosen his place. Mm-hmm. And it is in his place that he wants the real worship. Mm-hmm. And so this matter of changing our concept to realize, what is it that the Father wants? Then yes, in Revelation 14, that the Father's name is written on their forehead. It's the top of our mind. We're always thinking about what the Father writes. Mm-hmm. So may we have a different change in concept regarding the church. Yes. The church is not what's in it for me, how the church can help me, but the church is a place of worship to the Father and what we can do to bring to the Father and what he desires. So may the Lord really change our concept even regarding the matter of the church.
Amen.
I think for me, in the last year or so, even the word worship has taken on a different meaning. Because for many years, I guess, well, in the church, we never really defined it clearly until now. But I sort of had this idea: it's whatever we bring to God, whatever we give Him. And in my days when I was in Christianity, worship almost always referred to singing, so, music. So, you would have so-called worship services, and that would be singing, but in the end, it's really still for our own enjoyment. But now you see that we cannot worship in whatever way that we think God would want, right? He prescribes exactly what he wants, what's acceptable to him. So we really have to get away from all these old ideas that we have. Whatever I can bring to God, well, since I brought it, he better accept it. It's out of my the goodness of my heart, so he has to appreciate it, whatever it is, right? But no, it's not like that. He's very specific about what he'll accept,
right?
And I think this is something that's new for us. And what he accepts is, I guess for some people they see that the offerings is just a form. And I admit, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, it does seem kind of like a form. But then you have to look deeper than that and see that no, there has to be something real behind it. If there's nothing real, then yes, it's a form. But if there's nothing real, you should not give an offering. You can't just come and just say something, right? But there has to be a real change in us, a real experience of the Lord. So, there's a lot more responsibility placed on us as Christians, to really apply the word and to live by the word, to live by the Lord. Right, and then be able to have something to bring. Yeah. And I must admit, I also have meager selection, right? and especially for me, I'm going to be sharing about laboring on the good land. Well, I wish I could speak more out of my experience, that my laboring is really not enough. I need a lot more. My land is kind of, it's a good land, but I don't have a whole lot growing right now. So yeah, so I really have to, apply this a lot more.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I also appreciate here the matter of the holy temple, right?
Yeah.
Especially as also the holy priesthood, right? And the holy temple, they belong together.
Amen.
Right? You cannot just worship at any place.
Right.
Right. not in the world, not in Babylon. No, mm-hmm. there is a holy temple, a place God has chosen. Mm-hmm. And even if you are holy as a person, your place where you bring the offerings and do the worship does matter. Right? Try to bring it to Rome, right, to the Pope. It's not going to work. But we have to see, right, what is God's chosen place to bring the offerings pleasing to Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, and holy, what does it mean? It is separated. Right? Nothing,
exactly.
It has nothing equal or no part of the world in it or Babylonian principles and ways. Right? It is really separated unto God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? Our Father is holy. We should be holy priesthoods, and we bring everything to the holy temple.
Amen.
Amen. The church is ecclesia,
yes.
mm-hmm.
called out from what? Right? From the fallen nature and ways of the nations, right? Fallen worldly ways we should not bring into the church. And this is really so much our problem. We accept and bring in our ways into the holy place. It's not going to work.
No.
Right? And mixture is really a big problem. Mixture in us, mixture in the church. So many mixture compromises today in the world. And so really appreciate his word this morning that we need to come back to an absolute way.
Amen.
Right? The way of God that is really revealed in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The word holy is not very easy to define. But, if I would ask you this morning, Sharon, what is the opposite of holy? What is the opposite of holy? And what does it mean, unholy? You see, it's hard to describe. But if you know the true meaning of holiness, holy, the opposite of holy is something common.
Mm-hmm.
Not something unholy, bad, evil. The evil is again something that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Good and evil. Right? You have the contrast. But holy, the opposite of holy, is not evil, not good, or bad. But the opposite of holy is common. Something that is common, not separated unto God. This is the first meaning. Right? The word holiness is something that is separated unto God. That is the first meaning. And the second meaning of holiness is the divine nature of God. Only God is holy.
Amen.
That's why in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "Be holy because I am holy." Meaning to say, the holiness is the divine nature of God. Right. So it is very special. If, like our brother said, we mixed a lot of things and bring them into the church, which may seem good to you, but what is good may not be what is holy. So if you bring something that is not corresponding to the divine nature, you bring it into God's house, you're going to defile the house of God. And pretty soon you have so much mixture coming in. So to be holy, you can only learn holiness if you live in the presence of God.
Amen.
So this is a quality, a characteristic of God's house and temple. It's a holy temple.
Mm.
this is why when Moses saw God, right, God appeared to him in the burning bush. Right, and Moses want to go and see, what is that? God stopped him and says, remove your shoes. You are on holy ground. That whole place is sanctified. Today, many of the Christians do not have this feeling of holiness. And many times, if you do have the feeling of holiness, you will have the fear of God. Right. Because if you don't have the sense of God is holy, then you can do anything you like.
Right.
Thinking that it is okay, and that's okay, this is okay, it's not bad. But it may not be bad, but it may not be holy. Mm-hmm. And the temple of God. You know, three words were used, actually, in the Bible concerning the church in relationship to God as the Father, as God, the Supreme One. Number one, the church is the house of the living God. The word house is used, meaning also to say household, which is the Father is there and we are there. We are all with him. It's the household. You are members of the household of God. This is what Ephesians tells us in chapter 2. No longer strangers, but members of the house of God, of the household. This is the dwelling place. But a church is not only the dwelling place of God, it's also the temple of God. And the temple is a very exclusive place where we serve God and we worship God.
Amen.
Now, it's not just children there running around the temple, no. The children will be running around the house of God. Right, you had a big house there with six children. When you were kids, you were running around.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But a temple, no, you need a priesthood. To serve God without being the Levites, the priests, you cannot serve God. That is why in the Bible you have the priesthood. And not just one, but it's called the priesthood. Originally, God wants a whole nation of priests.
Amen.
And in the New Testament, we are all the priests.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 6.
Right.
We are not only saved, but we are made kings and priests to God. So, a temple without priests is impossible. Any kind of a temple, even a Buddhist temple, you have to be a priest to serve it. Right?
Right.
Without a priesthood, you cannot serve. So, the concept of the priesthood is fully related to the temple. That's why you need a holy priesthood serving in a holy temple. That's why in the Old Testament days, according to the law, the priests, when they enter into the service, they must put on the holy garments. And when they get out of the service, they take off the holy garments and leave them in a holy place and to go out, to be involved with the common people. Right? So you have to realize the matter of the holiness. You cannot approach God without holiness. That is why in the Bible, no one can enter into the holy of holies where God dwells without being cleansed by the precious blood of the sin offering. And there in the Old Testament, there is only once a year the chief priests the high priest can enter into the Holy of Holies and not without blood. Otherwise, he'll die there. And in the new covenant, we also need the precious blood of the Lamb to enter into the Holy of Holies. And today, praise the Lord, we can all enter in because of the blood of Jesus
Amen.
Christ, our Lord. So here you can really realize the priesthood. And if the Lord will open your eyes and we can read, for example, the book of Hebrews from 8, 9, 10, right? Especially these three chapters, you can really see the main work of the priests, meaning to say Aaron and his sons, not just all of the Levites, okay, is to deal with the offering. That's the main job. So we all need as priests to know the spiritual offerings today, which is Christ. And not in a general way. That's why many times burnt offering is mentioned. Meal offering is mentioned. Voluntary, free will offering, these are the peace offerings. Heave and wave offerings, and then sin and trespass offerings. Yes, these are mentioned in the Bible very often. Very often. This is what God wants from you. And if this is what God wants from you, you better know what they are. Okay? Otherwise, you won't know what to bring to God. Yeah. Do you know what to do in your job? You better know, because if you don't know what you're doing in your work and you bring something else, you're going to lose your job.
Yeah.
That's why in the Bible in Leviticus, the sons of Aaron, the two sons, yes, four of the two sons, Nadab and Abihu,
right,
try to offer things not according to the way God asked them to do. What happened? They got consumed by the fire. People may say, well, what do you have to mention? I bring this offering, I bring that offering. Why? Have you not read? Many times when the Lord talked to those Pharisees and Jews, he always said, have you not read? Have you? If you don't want to read, that's your problem. The problem is not God doesn't know what you bring. God knows very well what you bring. The problem is, do you know what you're bringing? And are you sure God is going to accept what you bring to him if you don't even know what you're bringing? If I ask you to buy chicken in a market, you came home with some dog's meat. What did you bring? Chicken. You would have nothing to say.
Right. Tastes like chicken.
Huh? You better know what God wants, okay?
Right.
And God already says what he wants.
Yeah.
And all of these offerings are very, very meaningful, which is what God wants and why. You have to know why God wants it from you. Why do you think God asks you to bring him a sin offering? Because he knows you're sinful. You need that. Hmm.
Why do you need to bring a trespass offering? You've never sinned. You didn't do anything wrong in your life, no? After you're saved, you're perfect. That's why you need a trespass offering. You have peace all the time? Are you very peaceful? Really? Most of all, peace with God. You have peace with God. Don't you do so many things that are offending him, or you have not done anything offending him? Do you?
Yeah.
You do? Sometimes only? Very few times?
No.
No? How often?
Too often.
So what do you need to bring him?
Sin and trespass offering.
Plus a peace
offering, yeah.
Why not? Why not? Why? Don't you? Are you always at peace with God? How about you, Greta? No. So what do you need to bring to the Father? You better bring him a peace offering. Why not? How about you, humanity? Is your humanity perfect? Oh, Swiss humanity is better. No, no, really. I thought the Swiss are perfect.
Neutral.
Then do you not need Christ as the meal offering?
Absolutely.
Yes. You don't need it. And are you always for God? Fully obedient to God. You live only to do the Father's will. So what do you need? Well, you better know it. And the more you prepare such an offering for God, the more you will be like Christ.
Amen.
To live a life that is well-pleasing to the Father in everything. The more you enjoy Christ as all of these offerings, the more you will live Christ. The humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not? Who doesn't need that? Raise your fingers. I will raise 10 fingers. Because I need them. You don't? Maybe Moses. Moses is a special brother.
I need it.
You need it. We all do.
Yeah.
We all do. Right. This is what I've been sharing for over 40 some years in here. Nothing new, except we don't hear it, we don't practice it.
Right.
So may the Lord help us.
Amen.
Amen.
And being a priest, you don't deal with these offerings. What kind of a priest are you going to be?
Jobless.
You'll be fired. You'll be fired. No wonder the priests, they all have to learn. All the Levites, beginning at the age of 25, they have to learn. And then they start to serve at the age of 30. And then all the older, experienced priests have to teach them how to do it. Because it's not easy. Even Mo himself says he's a good lad, he's just a piece of good lad. He said, he doesn't even know what he's doing in the good lad, right? What do you do in the good lad? You play baseball? What do you do there?
Work.
Work. Work out, you mean? Labor on Christ. We are growing Christ in this wonderful
Amen.
Good land.
Amen.
So learn this. I hope that in these few days we will all learn and have more fellowship concerning all these matters and practice it. After 1 year, 2 years, you will see. The more you prepare this kind of an offering, the more you will be like that kind of person. That's why we have so much trouble today. Why? Because we are not practicing those things.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, it's time again, right? 12:15.
Yes.
We will have some activity afternoon. We have rock climbing, but they said the minimum has to be 10 people. Can I ask now who want to have attend rock climbing and raise his hand? 10 people.